As we continue in our study in the book of John, we see that Jesus does listen to us even before we can voice our prayer. And notice how he responds to his people as they gather around him. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he'd given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, Jesus told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up. And from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. May God bless our reading and are hearing his word for our lives today. The gospel writers are not like high school students given a 1,000-word essay where every now and then they add some filler and some fluff to stretch it to get to the 1,000 words. There are no extra words. There's no fluff in the gospels. And so I find it a challenge and a puzzle at times to figure out why each phrase is there in the story. John sets the context for us with these disparate phrases, one after another. So let me just unpack those for you for a second, and then we'll look at this miracle that Jesus did. I invite you maybe to even keep your scripture out in front of you. John says, after this, Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee. After this was when Jesus was in Jerusalem. Last time we were reading, last week, he was in Jerusalem. He'd healed that man who'd been lame for 38 years. And now he's gone all the way back to northern Israel, back to the region of Galilee. By now, a large crowd has begun to follow Jesus because they've heard of the miraculous things he could do, especially for the sick. The other gospel writers are always packing their gospels full of the miracles that Jesus has done, but John does it differently. He gives us these long cameo experiences of Jesus healing one person here and one person there. But we can tell there's miracles going on because the crowds are following Jesus. He goes up to the mountain to be alone on the side of the Sea of Galilee, but the people follow him. And John tells us the Passover festival was about to happen. It was near, which seems like a funny thing to insert here. Except that the Passover was the celebration of the freedom and the liberation of the Hebrews. It was remembering how God took them out of slavery, out of Egypt, and rescued them. And it was believed that the Messiah would come and be revealed during the Passover. So as the Passover is getting close, and as Jesus is doing these miracles, the air is full of messianic expectations as the crowds come to Jesus. Jesus is there with his disciples on the hillside, and he looks up and he sees the crowds coming. and he wants to feed them. It's strictly an act of compassion. There was no necessity to feed them. They could have gone home or to their villages, but they would not have had time to come back that day. So Jesus' desire to feed them is really just a desire to bless them, to be seen as the one who feeds his people. That's why Jesus wants to feed the crowd. He is so attentive, he is so compassionate, he is so generous that sometimes Jesus gives to us even when we don't have a need, just so he can show that he loves us and he cares for us. So Jesus sees the crowd, he wants to feed them, and he says to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread to feed these people so they can eat?" Jesus is proposing an impossible task, to feed 5,000 people without any advanced planning, any advanced preparation, right now in the spur of the moment. Now we understand why Martha was so anxious when she had Jesus over to dinner, because you never know how many people he was going to invite along with him. Jesus is expressing the Father's heart, God's impulse to feed his people, to provide for their every need. And as Jesus is expressing the Father's heart, he's making known to us this mind-boggling reality of how God can care for all of us individually at the same time. All of us at the same time. What was the first thing you worried about this morning? Maybe it's before you got out of bed. Maybe it was on the way to church this morning. Maybe it's because the sanctuary was cold and you were worried you weren't going to make it through the service. We worry because we wonder. We wonder if God notices us. We wonder if God cares about the details of our lives. And if God cares about the details of your life, how can he care about the details of everyone else's lives at the same time? We don't normally get to see God at work in the world all at once. We can see him working in our lives if we have eyes of faith, but we don't get to see God attending to everyone at the same time. That would take a cosmic jump. That would be more than a 30,000-foot view. You'd have to transcend time and space. You'd have to be above heaven itself so you could be above God in the room as he's responding to every human need at the moment. But feeding 5,000 families from one boy's sack lunch, that's a glimpse of God caring for all the world all at once. And Jesus reveals to us a generous and faithful, an attentive and intervening Father so we can know this is what he's like. That worry that caught up with you this morning, your Heavenly Father knows it and is already moving to respond to it. By asking Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for all of these people?" Jesus is inviting his disciples to care for people as well. He's asking them to join him in his mission of tending to people's physical needs. So much of what Jesus did was addressing physical needs. So Jesus said, "Philip, let's do this. Where should we get the bread?" He asked him that even though he knew there was not a bakery nearby that had that much inventory on hand. And even if they had that much inventory, Jesus' disciples didn't have that much money. Jesus is hoping that Philip can look beyond the obvious obstacles. He's hoping that he can exercise some faith-filled imagination to connect the dots. Dale Bruner, a Presbyterian commentator, says maybe Jesus was hoping that Philip would think to himself, "I've just seen Jesus make 150 gallons of wine out of tap water. I wonder what he'll do this time." That's all Jesus asks of us. Not that we have a plan, not that we have a clear vision of exactly what God is going to do and when God is going to do it. All that Jesus asks is an openness to the fact that he can and he will demonstrate the love and power of the Father in our lives. We don't have to know how. We just need to be open to that happening, that being real. Jesus doing that. Too often we break at the obstacles. We can't see around the brick walls. We do the math. 5,000 baguettes, $1.25 each. Maybe we can get them for 90 cents since we're buying in bulk. That's $4,500. We check the bank account. Yep, $18 and change. It's not going to happen. We give up. We go no further. I think this is a truth about life. That whatever Jesus calls us to do in our lives, whether it's individually or us together as a church, whatever he calls us to do, we will not be able to see the means to accomplish it before beginning. We won't see how we can do it before we get started. You know that in your own life. How many times has God enabled you, empowered you to do something where when you thought about doing it, you thought there's no way I'll ever be able to do that. But because you felt a calling, you made a beginning and God made a way. That's a truth about life with God. I think about Denise Shannon receiving a call to pastoral ministry in midlife, which meant she'd have to go back to school, start attending seminary, and eventually required her to quit her job as a hospice administrator so she could work for free as a church intern. And while she was going through that, Jerry went through a job transition as well. She had to wonder, how will this ever work? But it did. And she's being ordained this Saturday. Where are we to buy bread for all these people? Philip, he flunks that test, but Andrew gets extra credit for trying to think like a disciple. He says, there's a boy here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But then Andrew has his own question. What is this for all of these people? Andrew realized that there'd be no way to buy bread, so he brought what he could find. It wasn't much. It wasn't enough. But he knew enough to bring it to Jesus to see what Jesus would do with it. We encourage people in our church, whoever calls Trinity their home, to consider making a faith pledge. You have a blank one in your bulletin. A faith pledge is simply an estimate of what you might give to God's work through Trinity in 2020. We use that information to do planning for our church, but more significantly, we believe it's important for us to search what we have. And to give ourselves thoughtfully and intentionally and with grateful hearts. Andrew looked around for what he could give Jesus to help him accomplish his mission. He wanted to be a part of what Jesus was going to do. He wanted to be a part of Jesus feeding the people, so he brought this boy and his lunch to Jesus. Considering a faith pledge as a way of taking stock with the Holy Spirit's help, how we can be a part of Jesus' mission here on the earth. It allows us to be choiceful. It allows us to act with love and devotion. It gives us joy to bring what we can give. I think quite often our experience of completing a faith pledge, sometimes it feels like it's insignificant. It's too small. It's not enough. We wish we could give more. When we hold it up against the needs of the world, what will my contribution do, or the needs of our church? How will this make a difference, what I have to give? Like Andrew, we ask, what is this among so many needs and so many people? But Jesus is asking us. He's saying, try me. Give me what you have, even though it doesn't feel like enough, and watch what I will do with it. Now we get to the second thing that Jesus said in this miracle. Make the people sit down. Make the people sit down. You know why Jesus said that, don't you? You don't? Neither do I. at least not for certain. But it must be important, because it's right there in the middle of the miracle. It must give some insight into what Jesus is doing here. So I wonder, I can't prove it, but I wonder, two things. I wonder if Jesus is acting like the good shepherd from Psalm 23. Everybody there knew that psalm. We know that psalm. Psalm 23 depicts God as the ever-attentive shepherd. Therefore, we don't have to want. We don't have to be in need. Why? Because the shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. So there's another stray detail in the story. Why do all the gospel writers mention that there was a lot of grass there? A great deal of grass. And the verb sit down could more literally be translated as lie down, recline in the grass. Could Jesus be likening himself to the Lord as our shepherd? Does he want us to make that connection? Because that's who he is and that's what he does. He tends to the need of his sheep. He's revealing the Father as indeed their shepherd, and Jesus is too. Jesus wants us to look to him, to look to the Father, to look to our shepherd for everything we need. Maybe that's why he said, sit down. But secondly, I think by asking everyone to sit down or to lie down in that green grass, I wonder if Jesus is conveying to them his intention to feed them. He wasn't going to send them away in search of food like the disciples had recommended in other gospel renditions of this. They didn't need to go anywhere. They didn't need to feel anxious about what they were going to eat. They could wait right there with an expectation that their shepherd would take care of them. So see Jesus asking them and asking all of us to look to him, our shepherd, for what we need. What David alluded to in poetry in Psalm 23, Jesus fulfills in his actions. He made them sit down in green pastures, and they no longer had want, no longer had need. This is what our Father and Jesus are like. So we can lie down in his care, even when our needs are as pressing as hunger, because our shepherd has us in the palm of his hand. And Jesus asked the crowds to sit and to recline in the grass as he did that. He took the boys' lunch, he gave thanks, and then he gave it to the crowds, to 5,000 people. And we're told that everyone had as much as they wanted. Everyone ate until they were satisfied. So picture the transformation that happened here. People followed Jesus far from their homes and villages. It was too late to turn back and get home in time to eat and then come back and see Jesus. They're beginning to feel the hunger pangs of the when their next meal should be. But what could they do? When there were so many people out here, the closest 7-Eleven would certainly have been sold out of popcorn and soda already. So Jesus asked them to sit. And there seemed to be an unspoken promise that somehow he would take care of things, somehow it would all turn out okay. Before long, the basket of bread and fish appears in your row out of nowhere, and there's plenty. So we can all take as much as we wanted. And the whole crowd had a nice, full feeling afterwards and a sense of wonder at what Jesus had done. Can you see how Jesus is showing the Father to us, our shepherd? Can you see how Jesus was taking that ancient image of God as shepherd and demonstrating in real life that it was still true, has always been true, and always will be? Can you see the generous compassion of God for you and for me? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you see us coming with our needs and our words, and your desire is to bless us. ask you to bless our sister church, Arvada Presbyterian, as they courageously hold their future before you and ask what they should do. We ask you to bless Barbara and Hilda as you mend their broken hips, and Pat and Bunny as they recover from surgery. Pray that you be with Brenda as her brain cancer spreads and multiplies, and as she worries about her 14-year-old son. We ask you to be with those who are grieving losses that were expected and the unexpected losses of suicide in our community this week. We think of those, Lord, who are bound at home, who can't get out due to risk of infection or poor health or limited mobility or because they're in the process of dying. We pray that you would come to them and feed them everything they need. We give you thanks for a new grandchild born this week. We pray for one still on the way, whose coming seems uncertain. And for those, Lord, who have a recurrence of cancer, we pray that you would heal and mend, Scott. And for those with all kinds of health concerns, we mentioned Bill and Don and Otis and Ellen, knowing that you are the God who cares for us, who makes us lie down, who restores our soul, who leads us to all that is good. We practice that faith, Lord, by using the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.